Well, welcome to our guests this morning. We especially welcome you and thank you for joining us. This morning we're going to take a look at a text in which the Apostle Paul is pestered. Pestered by a girl with an evil spirit. And we'll see how the name of Jesus has power over that spirit. And the text will show us, too, how mankind, when faced with adversity, likes to make sure that someone gets punished. And we will also see how God can overcome some things that seem impossible. And we will see that to be saved, all that's asked of all of us is that we would believe on Jesus Christ. And because of this, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text comes from the Acts of the Apostles, and it is wrong in what we have, and I didn't realize it until later this last night. As you know, I was gone this week at a preaching conference, and so Thursday when I came in and I handed Cheryl the text, instead of writing a 3, I wrote a 2. And so it is actually chapter 16, verses 16 through 34. And so it all won't be on the screen, but it will all be included. And so I would ask that you would stand for the hearing of the word. Reading in Jesus' name. It came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the migrant place unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, These men, being Jews, do not do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrate rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and every one's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for the light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And they took them the same hour of night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and his, straightway. And when they had brought them out into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Amen. Please be seated. Now Paul is in the marketplace and he runs into a girl who happens to be a slave, who is possessed, And yet, it's very interesting what she says. Her owners were using her to tell fortunes so they could make some money. But as soon as she sees Paul, she starts crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." This is an evil spirit. And yet even the evil spirit knows that Paul and Silas and those that are with him are bringing the message of salvation. And it's interesting because she seems to follow them around for many days. You know, that's exactly what it says. But I thought it was interesting that Paul allowed this to go on. I don't know why, I can't tell you why, but it does happen. And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of here." And at that very hour, and it came out that very hour. The Spirit doesn't come out except by the command of Paul in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, for the most part, we don't see a lot of this whole possession thing going on. I have talked to missionaries that have seen it and dealt with it. But the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus Christ, even the very elemental things of evil have to obey. It's just a wonderful how much power our God has given in His Son. And it's interesting because, as we read in John, we are part of Him. As believers, we are united with Christ and Christ with the Father. And that's really what it says. "I made known to them your name and will continue to make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them." That there is now no separation between this great power, this one who had victory over death and the grave, and also over sin, has now united himself with us, and this same power exists within us. That at his name, even the very demons will submit. And now the owners, after all this happens, they're upset. And the owners saw their hope for gain was gone, and they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them to the marketplace before the rulers. Now these slave owners, these guys who were using this girl for money, were absolutely upset because their gain was gone. How are we going to make money now? The Spirit's no longer there to do this fortune telling. And so they were really gaining by this girl having an evil spirit. This is how mankind is. Not that they would be helpful or they would try to get it out or that they would indeed take care of her, but they wanted to use her for gain. And they used the evil for gain. And so what do they do when it is gone and someone actually cares for enough for her to take care of it? They take Paul and Silas and they bring them before the rulers of the city. And they brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and they are greatly disturbing our city. They're causing a ruckus." And so this starts really Paul's journey to Rome. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to practice. And as they argue these things in the marketplace, all the people start to turn against them. The crowd joins in attacking them, and the magistrate tore up their garments off them and gave orders for them to be beaten with rods. And so Paul and Silas are stripped down and they're beaten. But the magistrates don't realize it, and it comes actually after our text. But this was the wrong thing to do. Paul is a Roman citizen. He could not be beaten without a trial. And they will realize how wrong they are later on. But this is mankind. We, when we see our gain going, we want to fight back. And so we'll do everything within our power to try and squelch or punish those involved. And that's what the crowd is doing for those two who lost their slave girl. They are beating the ones who would bring them the word of salvation. And they don't even care. And so Paul and Silas are beaten. They've been inflicted, as it says in our text, with many blows upon them. And they threw them in prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received his order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. So this is really interesting, because now they are in jail. And the thing we have to know about Roman jail is if a prisoner escaped, it was a death sentence for the jailer. This is just not something that would happen. And so our text tells us that they put Paul and Silas into an inner room, way inside the prison. It's no windows, none of that stuff. And then put shackles upon their ankles. So there's no way that they can be let go. And so now, after all the beating, after being rejected and thrown into prison, you would kind of think that Paul and Silas would be going, "Woe is me. Life is just terrible. I can't believe I'm serving God, and now look what's happening to me." That's not Paul, and it's not Silas. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. So even in the midst of being in jail, in the midst of their sorrow, and in their poor situation, they are still praying and singing hymns. Because God is good, not just when life is good. God is good all the time. And that's really what Paul understood. But the other thing that's happening is all these prisoners are there and they're listening to this. But God's not going to leave them just to preach to the prisoners. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. God does not allow them to be bound for long. His word is going to go forth whether mankind likes it or not. Whether the Roman citizens can accept it or follow the practices or not, God is going to allow his word to go forth. And this is where we get to the jailer. Because at this point, their bonds are loose, the doors are open, and he's figuring everybody has escaped. When the jailer awoke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourselves, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in. In fear and trembling, he fell down before Paul and Silas. You see, that jailer knew he was dead. The prisoners had escaped. That means I will probably be beaten and then killed. Better off to just take my own life and I don't have to face all the other punishment that'll go along with this. But Paul wasn't going to let an innocent man die. And so as he falls before Paul and Silas, he asks the question, The question that most people ask at some point in their lives. What must I do to be saved? And this really is the question of the age. It's the question of every age. It's a question we, at some point in our lives, must ask ourselves. And we must ask to others. What am I to do to be saved? And you'll hear all kinds of things. You'll hear all kinds of answers. Well, you got to do this. You got to make sure you follow the Ten Commandments. You got to make sure that you jump through these hoops. And at the preaching conference that I went to this week, this really is what was dealt with. What must I do to be saved? And it comes down to something very simple. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. We've heard all kinds of other things in our life. We've heard all kinds of different things. We've even been taught different things. You must have certain people lay hands on you. You must make sure that you follow certain rules and regulations. None of that's true. Paul makes this absolutely simple. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. That's it. That's the gospel message. Believe Jesus Christ is indeed went to the cross and shed His blood for your sins and was raised again. Believe in what God has done through Him. There is nothing else. The rest will come along because that's who we now become. We become joined with Christ in that faith and in that belief. But we don't have to worry about that. That is not our proclamation. Our proclamation is belief. Because it is in this belief that lives are changed. And God will work through that faith and through that person to mold him and shape him into the person that he wants him to be, into the calling that he has set him apart for. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them that same hour that night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all of his family. And this is the thing. There are some instructions that we have, that we are to baptize all nations in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so, it comes both with being born into a believing family, and by believing. And if you were not baptized, that we should be. It symbolizes and is something that it's not just a symbol, but it really seals us into this joining with Christ. Jesus Christ Himself was baptized. He was baptized into us, as into a human being, into us as a human being. He accounted Himself one of us. By being baptized. He was baptized by John unto repentance. Jesus Christ had nothing to repent for, and yet He did it. We are now baptized into Jesus Christ, into life. And that's what this Roman jailer did. He goes and he cleans up Paul and Silas's wounds, and then Paul and Silas join him. And seal him into Jesus Christ through baptism. He and his whole family. His whole household. The jailer believed. There was nothing else required of him. We don't really hear anything beyond this story. But in that moment of believing in the person of Jesus Christ and the promises that are given through him, he was saved. You see, Christianity has been made to be something in a lot of cases it's not. It's been made to be difficult to be in. It's been made to be, you have to look, act, and walk like me in order to be in my club. That has nothing to do with Christianity. Christianity has to do with the belief in Jesus Christ, in the promises of God through him, that indeed he came for the sin of the world, and that includes ours. That he shed his blood and gave up his life as a sacrifice for that sin, and now has been raised to life and victory over the grave. That's it. You believe that, you're saved. And we don't even have to do that by our own power. Because God has given us the Word and the power of His Holy Spirit to work in us, to help us, to witness to us that indeed we are the children of God. All in all, Christianity is a gift to mankind and a gift to you and I from God Himself. God didn't make it difficult. Paul says to the question, what must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It can get no simpler than that. But that's how much God loves us. He makes it that simple for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We give you thanks that indeed you have made being saved easy. That you have accomplished everything for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. That, Father, you have allowed him to be our sacrifice and to shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sin. And then you have raised him to new life. And then you have brought your Holy Spirit to us that we would believe. Father, we thank you for this great gift. We ask that you would use us as you use Paul and Silas to go and to spread this message, to bring this gospel and to bring this gift to all the people that we come in contact with. That, Father, indeed, you would work in and through us, that lives would be changed, and people would come to know of your love for them. Father, we ask your blessing this morning on everything, and on this congregation, and on the work that you have called each of us as individuals to do. Work in and through us by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.